My name is Jill. I am the curate here at Network Church Sheffield, St. Thomas, Philadelphia. It has been a great joy to start at a new church as we have been journeying through a series about the way of the cross, while at the same time having Vision Sunday and Commitment Sunday. Because for me, it has actually been that I've learned to know what, as a church, we're passionate about. And then this morning, Andrew and Isaac gave us even more demonstration of that as we got to hear what people's dream days were about. I'm really aware that that all the children are in the room, and we have grown-ups in the room that also need to use busy hands and be able to think and do things while I'm standing up here talking. So over to the right of the stage, there is a sheet like this and a whole lot of things that you can go and get. You can get up from your seats and you can go and do that now. And this will help us all, I hope, to think and ponder and engage with what we're talking about as we journey further into going into the way of the cross. Because as a church, we're passionate about a lot of things. And I think all of us are actually passionate about something. Now, my husband is not here today. I think he's probably watching online. But if I asked him what he's passionate about, he would probably say, I'm passionate about my wife. And not to disregard this or be more superficial, I'm passionate about him too. However, what are you passionate about? What is it you are passionate about? I'm also really passionate about coffee. Not just the drinking of it. I am passionate about how it's made, where it comes from. I'm passionate about the whole process from farm to cup. I want to know that the farmers and those who harvest it are cared for, but I think the most beautiful part of coffee, and I live in a household where we roast, and in a community where we roast our own coffee beans, and the most beautiful part of coffee is actually as it's extracted. The aroma fills the whole house and it is just so good. I really love it, like properly love it. But we all love something and we're all passionate about something. And the reason for that is because we are made to be passionate and to enjoy stuff. What we're most passionate about is usually the thing that gives us most joy, the thing that makes us feel most alive, most excited. The thing that we're most passionate about can also be the thing that makes us most defensive and most protective. If you don't believe me, start talking about football. What we're most passionate about can make us feel the most sad, hurt, or even disappointed, or where we might grieve the most. What are you passionate about? What we are most passionate about, whether it's a church or us as individuals, is usually the thing or things that we want to dig deeper into, we want to research and go full nerd on. We can even completely lose ourselves in it and spend loads and loads of time just doing it. And what we are most passionate about usually costs us the most and what we pour ourselves into. It'll usually be where we invest most of our time, our money, our energy, and our skill. What are you passionate about? Could you put the most, what are you passionate about, on the screen, please? Thanks, Ollie. Today, as we go deeper into our journey in the way of the cross, we're going to continue by listening to what God is passionate about. Can you stand with me as we read the Word of God, which will be on the screen? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. When Paul wrote these words around 60 AD, he was in prison for preaching Jesus Christ crucified. He was so passionate about the gospel and Jesus being made known that the very words he embodied and lived, and he counted the cost of, and ended up in prison. And even when he had pain, suffering, and imprisonment, it didn't stop him. The meaning of the word passion comes from the word suffering. It means to suffer, to be willing to endure hardship or pain. And we've heard from the reading today about God's passion for his people. And although today we often, when we hear about passion, can you leave that script? Yeah, thank you. Often today when we hear the word passion, we're often just thinking about what we're enthusiastic about, something we desire greatly. And yet God's greatest desire and the heart of the Father is revealed to us in and through the cross, through suffering. His passion for us is revealed to us through Jesus, who endured pain, torture, and a scandalous death on a cross because he loved us. And it cost him everything. When we give our yes to Jesus, as we have seen already today, we've seen two people give their yes to Jesus, we enter into his sufferings. And as we learn to walk in humility, we're acknowledging that he is Lord and we are not. And he is God and we are not. It means that we're entrusting in his sovereignty and in his kindness, even often when we don't like it, or sometimes even when we can't see the way ahead. But entrusting to his way, who is the way. In our Christian journey of denying ourselves and taking up our cross, can't only be about our obedience or trying to make ourselves holy. Because when we do it that way, it just becomes moralistic, duty-bound, or even just religious. And if our Christianity implies that we can do anything or be anything we want, because God will love us anyway, we're actually throwing the cross back in his face and walking in what is known as cheap grace. Yeah, we are truly loved and accepted just as we are. And God wants us and loves us just as we are. But in his great and passionate love, he doesn't want us to stay just as we are. He longs for us to know the depths of his grace, the depths of his love, by entering into his suffering daily. And it's actually because he wants us to be all that we are created in him to be. And the way of the cross then costs us everything. But when we lay down everything, we learn to grow into the entwining embrace of grace and holiness combined. Can we have the next screen up? Jason Clark writes, "Here, salvation is not moral improvement or existential comfort." I know that sounds like big words. It just means comfort. "It is the transformation of our very humanity in Christ, being healed, transfigured, and drawn into the very life of God." And then he goes on to say, "Through discipleship, we learn to live into his story of suffering, love, and resurrection hope. This is the coin the church is meant to carry, not justice as ideology, not nation as ideology, not therapy or self-help, I'm adding, as ideology, but Christ himself as being ground of our very being. The passionate love of God was poured out in suffering on the cross so that we are invited to join in with him by denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following him." These are familiar words that you've all heard. We've heard, particularly in this sermon series, of Bonhoeffer's words in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. But Bonhoeffer was trying to emphasize true discipleship, which requires complete surrender. Our whole self to God's will, shedding our desires and our way of life. Today, we have celebrated and witnessed an outward and glorious sign with Navid and Rashinik as they've been baptized. This visible sign of leaving behind a way of life, immersed in the death of Christ and the suffering of Jesus, and rising to him a new life. But I wonder, how often do we take this grace and forgiveness for granted? I think especially when we've known it the whole of our lives. Another story I was thinking of when I started thinking about Bonhoeffer was the story in the Second World War in Amsterdam. Corrie ten Boom's family, as followers of Jesus, helped save 800 Jewish lives before being betrayed and arrested and sent to a concentration camp. where she was inflicted with cruel suffering by prison guards and included having to see watch her sister die. But what her story has become famous for is after the war, she encountered a former guard who had become a Christian. And when she met him, the memory of him and his brutality filled her with cold, bitter rage. And so she prayed, entering the pain and suffering, and asked God to help her to forgive. She extended her hand to him and forgave him, not feeling forgiveness, but the passionate love of God for him. And she knew it was necessary for her own healing. She said forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, only to discover that the prisoner was me. Walking the way of the cross can be painful, but it sets us free. Jesus says we can gain the whole world and forfeit our soul, but to forfeit our soul, I think, is not to know what real passionate love is. When we know real passionate love, we know what it means to be fully loved and fully known, and to feel fully alive. To gain the whole world will mean our world. Often, what is our world? Often it's anything we hold dear, and often it's often what we don't want God to have. It may be our world is what we feel we are entitled to. It may be the things that we hearken back to and won't let go of. Our world may be what we're known for and what our identity lies in. Our world may be what we long for the most, or even what we have worked for the hardest. Our world could even be ministry or the church. These are the things that can imprison and enslave us. And often we are not even aware of it. Because the way of the cross cuts close to the heart. And it's usually the very heart of who we are, and it's that which God longs for the most. So what do we do about it? We humble ourselves. We lay them down, embracing the pain, and say, Lord, they were yours. They were always yours. We can feel the pain of surrender, but the greatest gain is his passionate grace, filled presence, his joy, and deep rest. When we lay everything down, we actually learn to know where true rest lies.